All of these images have contributed to modern conceptions about Turkey and Asia Minor. And this is seen in Pulp Fiction. It's seen in films. One can only remember the various spy novels that were current in the period of the Cold War, and particularly the James Bond films. From Russia with Love, I think, begins in the cistern of Justinian underground, where he's zipping around in a motorboat. Really quite bizarre sequence, and then emerges someplace for a reception. Likewise, Midnight Express, another notion of what Turkey is all about, was filmed in the cistern of Justinian as a prison. These sort of images are all part of what I would call a phenomenon, Orientalism. This rather romantic notion of what the peninsula is about. Turkey is where Muslims live, ergo it must be a desert, ergo it must be similar to what you see in Lawrence of Arabia. And modern Turks today are very perplexed when asked about where the camels. My female Turkish friends sometimes lead on Americans by saying, oh, yes, I was reared in a harem and I escaped and now I'm a perfectly normal modern person. These are issues that we're not going to talk about in this course to a large extent. What we do plan to talk about are the various civilizations on this peninsula, starting with early Neolithic villages, some of the earliest farming communities anywhere in the world, notably at Shatal Huyuk, and Huyuk is the Turkish for a tell, a mound, that are quite frequent in the Middle East, right down through the classical periods, the Byzantine periods, to the early Ottoman Empire, where this course will conclude in the early 16th century. What I think I can show is that there is a remarkable continuity in the various civilizations that have occupied this peninsula, that the native peoples who inhabited Turkey or Asia Minor, a veritable mini Mediterranean in a way, each contributed, each gave a dimension to the various influences and civilizations that entered the peninsula, and that there are successive civilizations. Yes, they are different. You will see Christianity, you'll see an Ottoman Muslim period, and yet there's also a certain continuity that reaches all the way back into that earliest period. And that's in a way why I chose to work in this region. I am by training a classical historian. My interest is on Greece and Rome. Foremost, my interest is in the transformation of the classical heritage into the early Christian Byzantine world. That is what I've devoted most of my academic research to. But in the process of studying in Turkey, in trying to find out that decisive moment where we move from the classical into the early medieval, I realized that I was only studying a small portion of a much greater continuity, a continuum that starts with Neolithic villages, goes through the Bronze Age of the Hittite Empire, to succeeding Iron Age civilizations, to the Greek impact, to the great Roman impact on the peninsula, the Roman Empire, its transformation into the Byzantine Christian world, and then finally, with the arrival of the Turks in the 11th and 12th century, into a Muslim era, Turkish civilizations, and really you'll see that there's two phases of this Turkish civilization, the medieval Seljuk and the early modern Ottoman. So what our plan is to lead you through these civilizations where you can see the differences and the continuity. Our focus will be on the classical age, which is my field of specialty, but I believe you will walk away with a sense of the full range of civilizations that have played themselves out on this peninsula. Then that might lead to a question, well, why this particular peninsula? Why study Asia Minor? Why study Turkey? Honestly, I have to answer that question every year whenever I decide to take some research assistants with me to Turkey to study ancient coins primarily. I usually have long sessions with parents, assuring them that neither their daughter nor their son will be sold into slavery and end up as a janissary or in a harem. And the reason for investigating Turkey is that it stands as this peculiar land that acts as a bridge between Europe and Asia. The ancients themselves were undecided about the location of that peninsula. Today we call it part of Asia. But the geographer Strabo, writing in the first century AD, in the time of the Emperor Augustus, regarded the great mountain range, the Taurus mountain range, which splits the peninsula off from the Near East, as the beginning of Europe. That the mountain range defined the peninsula as part of Europe far more than the seas that washed the three shores of that peninsula. And there's a good case to be made for that.